So, yes. Bottom line, Mark, based on what you've heard at this point, if this woman had turned to you and said, what do you think is my best choice, what would you have said?
I probably would have recommended a combination of endocrine therapy and trastuzumab, and I would have put chemotherapy on the table as an option, but showed in my best guess what I think the absolute benefits would be. And I think it is important to point out absolute benefits rather than the relative risk reductions from adjuvant chemotherapy to really put it into perspective in terms that patients can understand. And then I would let the patient, you know, weigh in on the decision. I'm not going to tell someone yay or nay when it comes to these gray areas. They can certainly have a role in the decision-making process. The other issue that comes up in these sorts of cases, of course, is whether or not to use other diagnostic tools such as the Oncotype assay and that sort of thing. I personally, in HER2-amplified patients, don't see a real need to use that particular assay because the data from the NSABP that's been presented by Soon Paik previously suggests that all of the HER2-amplified cases in the NSABP Oncotype DX data set were either intermediate or high risk of recurrence. So you're not going to find a low recurrence score in a patient with these features with Oncotype. Consequently, you probably don't need to run it.
So what actually happened in the discussion, Brian, and what did you end up doing?
We ended up doing FEC followed by Herceptin, mainly because she was young and sort of wanted to be cardiac preserved, and we wanted to keep this as clean as possible.
No,
Can I just go back to you, Mark, just
sure,
for a second?
Yeah.
You said you would have given hormone therapy, if anything, with trastuzumab. So bearing in mind the tandem data on this, which has the very short survival times, that wouldn't in any way have discouraged you?
Well, that's a metastatic disease,
That's a metastatic disease, and then again...
But it does tend to show in that kind of disease.
It doubled the time to tumor progression in first-line metastasis.
Yes.
Consequently, there is a measurable treatment effect by the addition of trastuzumab to an aromatase inhibitor in first-line metastatic breast cancer that's HER2-positive and ER-expressing. So that establishes precedent in my mind that, you know, those types of combinations would probably have as much or more activity in the adjuvant setting. And I think you could argue that that data set could be used as the basis for the recommendation, even though the results are modest because it is metastatic breast cancer. But it's difficult. If you look overall at databases that have sub-centimeter invasive cancers, now, they're not all these characteristics, I'll grant you that. But overall, the recurrence-free and overall survival for these types of tumors is very, very high with standard lumpectomy and radiation therapy. And it's going to be hard to beat that with any adjuvant.
So let me just go back to you for a second. And I'm playing sort of tongue-in-cheek now and in a little bit arguing against myself. But again, if you do look at that tandem data in the control arm for those who were centrally confirmed ER positive, I believe the TTP was of the order of about 3.8 months.
Right.
So that kind of order. Whereas for a HER2 negative population, it is of the order of 11 months, 12 months, which does show a significantly reduced effect for the hormone therapy in the HER2 positive population.
Exactly as we predicted based on publications on this issue of HER2 and estrogen receptor crosstalk in laboratory models since, you know, we published that in 1995. So that's exactly what we would have predicted, that HER2 would confer relative endocrine resistance.
One of the conclusions which Jose Bazalga drew from that study is the fact that those patients would probably need chemotherapy as opposed to hormone. So in the way that we're doing it, the chemotherapy plus Herceptin was the major treatment modality, and the hormone is the additive part on this.
I think the key to success of adjuvant therapy this patient is going to be the HER2-directed therapy.
Yes.
That's the key. That's going to have the greatest impact in terms of proportional reduction and relative odds of recurrence. The hazard ratios across the board for all of the adjuvant Herceptin trials is on the order of a half. That is much more of an impact on hazard, and that's above and beyond chemotherapy.
I just want to clarify one thing in terms of what to expect out of hormone therapy in a HER2-positive tumor, because your paper showed that the ER levels were lower.
Correct.
But now what about a patient like this, who maybe is an unusual patient, who has high ER, 90%, granted the PR is only 30%, would you still say that she's not going to benefit as much from endocrine therapy, or because she has higher levels, maybe she would?
I still think that they probably will not benefit as much, but you know, there's no real subset analysis looking at quantitative ER with regard to response to Herceptin plus endocrine therapy. There's certainly data with regard to response to endocrine therapy alone. But in the setting of HER2 positives, that would be a really small subset and a difficult study to execute. So the bottom line is I think this patient would probably not have a great response to endocrine therapy alone because of the HER2. No question in my mind about that. But that response to adjuvant endocrine therapy is still not zero. They're going to get some benefit out of it. So it has to be considered as a therapeutic option and I think recommended for an ER-positive patient, regardless of the HER2 status.
Let me just basically bring this into convergence with Mark. we're dealing with an unknown here. There was a beautiful presentation made by Martine Picard at the Istanbul meeting last October where she was asking, what do we do with tumors with sizes of less than 1 centimeter? And she showed this beautiful blue slide and two words written on it, nobody knows. So we are projecting here from metastatic data. So whether we did the right thing or not, I do not know. But if you do look at that metastatic data, Neil, and you look at Herceptin trastuzumab alone in metastatic disease, the TTPs of the order between 3 to 4 months. The chemo with the trastuzumab, the TTPs, whether it's a taxane, nalbuphine, are of the order of 10, 11, 12 months. And Mark, this is a lot of your synergy data. So I would agree with you totally that the major benefit was going to be from the trastuzumab. But on the other hand, there would seem to be, if you project metastatic data, distinct synergy from trastuzumab and the chemo together. And now we are very worried about giving trastuzumab alone. There is no data for it in the adjuvant setting.
If she were presenting today, what do you think you'd do?
We don't really know. I mean, it's individual discussion with the patient. If we were giving the chemo without any question, there would be a taxane in there. And most probably, based upon the current state of knowledge, Neil, we would probably give the chemo with the taxane concurrently as opposed to sequentially.
Any guess what the specific regimen would be that you would use?
In this patient, AC going into TH.
With the T being?
Weekly Taxol.
Just to kind of get things out on the table, though, right now, what is your usual chemo trastuzumab regimen in, let's say, a node-positive patient? Same thing?
Yes, AC going to TH.
So you haven't changed anything as a result of the BCRG presentation with the TCH and all
that? At our point in time, no.
Mark, how would you answer the same question? What are you doing right now?
Well, let's just talk about this particular patient since this is really the case in point. In a case like this, if I were to use chemotherapy, I would probably use something like Steve Jones's regimen of Taxotere and Cytoxan because it's 4 cycles. If you're going to bite the bullet and use a cytotoxic regimen, it would be nice to minimize her risk of late cardiac complications, and that would take anthracyclines out of the equation in terms of worrying about the interaction with trastuzumab. So I think something like 4 cycles of TC followed by endocrine therapy plus trastuzumab, if you were going to consider a chemotherapy adjuvant option, that might be ideal. The U.S. Oncology Network is working on combinations of Taxotere, Cytoxan, and Herceptin, but I don't know that they have any safety data yet available for our consideration. So in the absence of that sort of data, I would do standard 4 cycles followed by a trastuzumab a la the Hera style of adjuvant trastuzumab.